Good Friday to you, Champa Bay. Derek Sharp here. Yeah. How about those Lightning getting it done at New York on Thursday night? Fun to watch. Fun to sort of fulfill that new title for us, and something that USF naturally did plenty this spring, most recently with the baseball team. In fact, on this Friday version of Bulls Beat in our second segment, I figured why not? Might do a little final note on, if not all, most of the teams as we are getting ready for the summer schedule here on USF Bulls Unlimited. In fact, we are in it as far as Bulls Beat goes. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we'll do the show. We'll do the conference show at the end of the hour on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Some days there's not going to be enough for a show, I'll just tell you right now, but I'm going to try and do interviews, line up more conversations, and we are getting ready already, believe it or not, for the fall, because it's going to be a lot busier this last fall. We were kind of twiddling our thumbs and waiting for something to happen, and it became the fall of just football, and that was enough because we had a new coach and a lot of different things to deal with when it came to the pandemic. But this fall is going to be a normal one as it is, with soccer and volleyball both playing in the fall. So we're back to a full fifth year of Bulls Unlimited coming up in August. But for June and July, we'll space things out a little bit. We'll do classic football games on Unlimited as we're getting you set for the 25th anniversary season. And on Bulls Unlimited, too, you'll hear a lot of the classic games that were turned in this past season. But in the second segment of this show, might as well do it, right? I've got the audio. We will play you the championship moments for all of the teams in the spring, at least the ones that we aired on USF Bulls Unlimited. We were not doing the golf tournament live, but we'll mention that because actually the star individual player in that tournament of the Bulls was honored on Wednesday night. If you didn't see these videos, they're great, put out by the USF softball Twitter page. Basically, they were the Jim Lauk voiced presentation videos for the head coach of the Bulls and Georgina Corrick, who was the student athlete of the year. They were both honored along with golf's Albin Bergstrom, who was the conference champion on Wednesday night, by the Tampa Sports Club, inducted into its Hall of Fame was Coach Erickson. And I didn't realize the other guys that were inducted alongside of him. What a night to be there at the Pepin Hospitality Center. It was Coach Erickson. It was also Paul Gruber, former, of course, Buccaneer, along with Bob Wiener, the Plant High School head football coach, and Brad Richards, one of my favorite all-time Tampa Bay Lightning. So kind of a cool night to be a part of. You actually saw Coach Erickson get dressed up, Georgina Corrick, in a stunning red outfit. She was also, of course, the female student athlete of the year, and Albin Bergstrom was the male athlete of the year. Again, I would instruct you to go to the USF Softball Twitter page. That's at USF Softball to see the videos. And you almost forget, and I knew that Ken Erickson was a member of the baseball team, some great old photos where basically he looks like today Ken Erickson back then. It's kind of funny. Some people look completely different, but not him. But I had realized, but kind of forgotten, that he played professional fast-pitch softball, a transition for baseball player to fast-pitch softball for a dozen years. And then he kind of got right into the USF softball coaching staff before taking over as head coach. Really, really cool stuff there. Wow, this is extremely cool and a big feather. And I know that I'm going to make Michael Kelly give me a comment on it when we sit down next Tuesday to record the new episodes of Bull Speed Ahead. He is, by the way, going to be interviewing both Billy Mole of baseball and Eric Jenkins of track and field, who were the last two seasons to wrap up and both did great things. But I'm going to make him comment to me, just for this show's purposes, on his being named to the NCAA Division I Council. And this is a four-year term. There are 40 members of this council. There's one from each of the 32 Division I conferences, along with four, basically, conference commissioners, two student athletes, and two faculty athletics reps. So this is a big deal to be on the NCAA Division I Council. And it is the basically group responsible for day-to-day decision-making for Division I. This has to do with competition as far as how you formulate the NCAA tournament and all the different sports, oversight, planning, everything. And he is part of this Division I Council. I didn't realize this until I looked at GoUSFBulls.com. Along with this, he is the chair of the Americans Athletic Directors Executive Committee. Also is on the conference's Racial Equality Action Group, and also serves on the President's Board of Advisors for a couple of his alma maters, St. Thomas University down in Miami. He's on the Board of Trustees for St. John's College High School in D.C. I mean, we love Michael Kelly and what he does for USF, but his clout doesn't just carry in Tampa Bay, it carries nationally, and we are so fortunate to have him. If you want more details, head to gousfbulls.com. You know, one of the things that we will be bringing you during the summer is when schedules get announced, obviously, and I've kind of got some intel that we can expect soccer to be the first on the docket for when play-by-play returns. Going to be honest, don't mind having a couple weeks, 6 weeks or so off from doing play-by-play, because it's not just sitting down and calling the action. It's a lot of prep work that goes into it. The baseball tournament, when you have to prep for so many different teams, same thing with softball. Believe me, it was all worth it, but I've realized this week how much work goes into prepping and doing play-by-play, especially when you hit the road. So to relax for a little bit and just do the shows for you, but then we'll be ready to go, obviously, when the 2021 season begins. And that'll be probably pretty early in August as far as soccer getting on the field. Volleyball will follow. And then, of course, as we all know, football begins on September the 2nd. But one team now has the beginning of its spring schedule already, and that is men's tennis, because Ashley Fisher's team ended the year ranked so high nationally, 29th, it made them an automatic member of the prestigious ITA kickoff event, which, yes, begins the season. And it's a really cool event as far as how the field gets picked. What it is it's 15 different locations with the top 15 ranked teams by the ITA getting to host groups of four. And basically, each group of four, you'll have the best team play the fourth best team, the second best play the third best. The winners will play each other, and the winners from each of the 15 cities get to advance to play for the ITA Indoor Championships. This will be next February, basically, in Seattle, Washington. Well, if you are one of the seeds, you just sort of sit back, and it's like a draft. If you do fantasy sports, I don't do those anymore, I just don't have the time, but basically the 16th best team got to pick where it's going to go. And it was Arizona, by the way. They wanted to go to College Station, where the 8th-ranked Texas A&M Aggies are. And they just go in order. So by the time the Bulls were there to pick, it was kind of interesting. You had seen, for example, the other conference team, Tulane. Now, UCF, as the 11th seed, was hosting, so it didn't get to pick. Stanford was already headed to Orlando, and Tulane wanted to play the Knights, so they were there. Might have been some temptation to become the fourth team in Orlando if you're the Bulls, but they went elsewhere. They went to a city that they'd been to in the past, but no one had picked yet. That would be 9th seed Georgia. As the Bulldogs will be the team that the Bulls hope they play, they've first got to play Virginia Tech. We know they will start off their season with Virginia Tech, as the Hokies, shortly after the Bulls selected to go to Athens, were the next to go there, and the fourth team ended up being VCU. Georgia, by the way, just coming off a phenomenal season where they made it to the national quarterfinals. They cruised through their own regional. Then they played North Carolina in the round of 16, got a dramatic win, then ended up losing to Tennessee in the national quarterfinals. The Gators won the national championship, and no one wanted to have anything to do with them. If you go to my Twitter page, you can see I was tweeting out about this. It took until the 54th ranked team, so basically 40 teams almost passed on going to Gainesville. And guess who ended up saying, okay, we'll go there? That would be 54th ranked Florida State. Fun stuff there. We'll tell you where the other teams in the conference ended up deciding to go. As remember, five teams from the American Athletic Conference made it to the NCAA tournament. All five are going to be a part of this ITA kickoff event. We'll give you all that information as we close the hour on Around the American. And incidentally, the losers of the first matches do get to play each other, so you get two strong opponents to start off the season. No matter what, the Bulls will be playing two teams in the top 40, as VCU came in at 38th. And again, Georgia, number 9 in this event. So we know the first date for the tennis season. We know the first date for the football season. We should get soccer and volleyball coming up soon. We can also tell you about a new member of the basketball team and another transfer from Memphis. We already introduced Dulcie Fankamenjiadu. Now, the point guard for the Tigers last year, and I remember being pretty impressed by Ariel Wilson, their point guard. Of course, Memphis struggled as a team, went 4-15 overall, but that had nothing to do with Dulcie Fankamenjiadu, who, by the way, again, 14 points per game and 10.5 rebounds. Now, Wilson is not a scorer, but again, for a team that kind of struggled, she had 115 assists to 71 turnovers, by the way, so a very solid backup point guard, you would guess anyway. to Eliza Pinzon, 115 assists in 19 games. That's around 6 per game. Oh, it almost goes without saying, she is international. She is from Canada. So we mentioned how the Bulls have lost some members of the roster, but have just really bulked up in other areas, especially the front court. And you were wondering about if they'd add any guards. And, well, now they have officially in Ariel Wilson. And while I'm thinking of it, Randall St. Felix, one of the, of course, now many former members of the football program, but it's not like we're their enemies or anything like that. He has latched on to FIU. Will be interesting to see a couple of the guys staying in state. Johnny Ford, the running back, is now with FAU, for example. Coming up next, championship moments. Oh, yeah, there were some fun ones this spring. We'll give you the conference championship highlights. Why not? Because we can do it, right? Stay tuned. This is Bulls Beat.